So this talk is going to be centered around a few topics that intertwine with one another, starting with the observation of various energetic networks within reality and how these networks lay down the necessary scaffolding for a level of consciousness that transcends just the human brain and supports models that interpret the human brain as a complex receiver and translator of information, rather than being solely responsible for the generation of what we call consciousness or self-awareness. We're also going to talk about how a symbiosis between intuitive or creativity-based thinking and rational or logic-based thinking can impact your perception of reality, which will lead us into the concept of metaphysical bridges, which is really a conversation around multiple dimensions and how they connect to one another. For example, the bridge between the dimension of our imaginations and the physical dimension, and how certain individuals provide strong bridges or channels between them. And I'll do my best to lead us to the conclusion that each of these components, the network dynamics of our reality, a state of neural equilibrium in the human brain, and the concept of bridges between dimensions, may be key components in understanding and appreciating our larger reality. If we examine the scientific consensus of what we call the Big Bang, a sudden expansion of energy seemingly out of nowhere and with no understandable catalyst that we could look towards as the cause of it, we're already starting things off at a very high level of strangeness. The most prosaic model we have is that everything, all energy and the very dimensions of space and time, were inexplicably blasted into existence through entirely unknown causes. So I think even the most rational rationalist must concede that our models for what the nature of reality is are all fundamentally being developed upon a foundation of ignorance, because all we can do is observe and study the effect of this Big Bang and not the cause of it. And so we're basing our scientific models of reality through what we observe reality to be made of, rather than observing what made reality. Because that observation is beyond the event horizon of our experience, although we will discuss later on how there may be tools available to us that allow us to observe beyond the event horizon of the physical universe. But for all intents and purposes, the Big Bang is entirely a paranormal event by today's standards. I mean, if a tennis ball appeared in the middle of the air and fell onto the floor, you'd probably question your sanity for the rest of your life, and yet everything in your life, in all of our lives, our very lives themselves, and the universe that holds it all together, are the symptoms of what can only be described as an inexplicable instance of spontaneous creation. So since we're basing the creation of everything off of what is currently a paranormal event, we might as well provide space for the so-called paranormal, which is simply unexplained phenomena, like, for example, the Big Bang. So once again, I think we need to just keep in mind that our entire existence was brought into being through what we have to perceive as a paranormal event for now, of spontaneous creation. So anything goes at this point. Something I find interesting is the observable pattern of network dynamics within the universe. Subtle energetic networks permeate through all of space-time, stringing all things together through these fundamental energies at the bedrock of the creative process. Like, for example, electromagnetism, which gives rise to all light and matter in the observed universe. So we have these vast unseen networks of energetic exchange that are forming space and time itself. And these fundamental forces give rise to all subsequent expressions of energy and matter, from the smallest quantum particle to the planets and the stars. Your very body, the quantum substructure of your anatomy, is made up of these energies. And so these fundamental forces of the universe that erupted from this event of spontaneous creation at the beginning of time both form and string together or connect all things in the universe to each other. So on a fundamental energetic level, we are all connected and we are all the same energies, simply being represented in different forms through variations in frequency or vibratory state within each individualized expression of energy that forms into matter. It is my opinion that consciousness itself is embedded within these fundamental energies from the very beginning. I think conscious energy erupted into existence from a place beyond the material realm, and it's just my intuitive belief that this realm beyond the material is where consciousness originates from. I think the material realm is a dimensional space that this conscious energy created through an event that we call the Big Bang. These fundamental conscious energies burst into this new domain, and they did so in an extremely rudimentary form of creative energy, very basic forces that hold within them the conscious energy of the realm that these forces came from. And I think that, and personally, I do think that's part of the plan. The process of development within this realm is purposefully linear with the creation of the dimensions of space and time, came the creation of developmental process of cause and effect. Prior to the formation of this space-time realm, I imagine creative processes unfolded instantly. But within space-time, the rules work differently. The instantaneous manipulation of energy that is possible, perhaps, in the realm beyond this one, must now operate within the rules of space and time. And so the process that would allow this conscious energy to create forms through which it can both create and explore this new environment will suddenly take something it has never taken before. It will take time. And so these fundamental energies that form the universe, they have consciousness encoded into their creative process, but this fundamental conscious force must now engage in a process of development over time within this realm to appropriately express this consciousness in a suitable format for this particular dimension of space and time. And so over what we understand as billions and billions of years, these energies began to transform themselves, rearrange themselves, connect pieces together, and gradually these fundamental energies became more complex sets of expression, and what we understand as matter began to form. And over what we observe as vast periods of evolutionary time, these forces and energies became even more complex until stars and solar systems and galaxies formed. All the while, this fundamental conscious energy is becoming more and more diverse in its ability to express itself. It's coalescing, it's becoming more and more complex, and it continues to rearrange, it continues to diversify, and planets form, and complex processes over time allow for the emergence of biological life on these planets. Suddenly there are plants and animals, even more complex expressions of sentience. This conscious energy is finally closer to a suitable expression to experience this new realm it has created. This realm requires a certain type of vehicle. And so these forces are trying to become more like a being and less like a thing, and eventually sentient humanoid creatures emerge from these fundamental forces going through complex evolutionary processes. And I think the aim of this whole thing is to develop instruments that can refine and focalize this conscious energy that's at the bedrock of this entire process of creation. This energy is seeking vehicles through which it can experience what it is that it has created and continues to create within this new realm of space and time. And so these energies have burst into this space. Over time, they have become more complex, developing energetic networks within this domain that string bodies of energy together and pass information through them through energetic exchanges. And so now you have a vast universal network of energy permeating through all of space-time. And within this, you have further condensed networks of galaxies, which are in of themselves made up of even more condensed networks called solar systems. And this is where we can observe the emergence of another network and perhaps understand its purpose even further. So we've looked at the universal network of fundamental forces and how these coalesced over time into the physical universe. and that these forces have consciousness embedded within them from the very beginning. And this conscious energy has the intention of manifesting itself in appropriate ways within this new physical dimension so that it can adequately explore its own creation. Galactic networks formed and solar networks formed, and finally planets have formed, and we know at the very least that one of these planets has formed a diverse biosphere of life. Planet Earth is an example of what these fundamental energies are trying to create over time. Planet Earth is a factory for life, and holding all of this planetary life together, there exists a vast planetary network, and this network mirrors the form and function of the universal network of fundamental energies. Both the universal and the planetary network permit for energetic exchanges of evolutionary coding by connecting things together and passing information through them. And these networks subsequently diversify their environment by forming or contributing to the formation of varying expressions. This is made evident by the universal energetic network's ability to give rise to galaxies, stars, and planets, and the arrival of condensed versions of this network is made evident on planet Earth through the sheer diversity of biological life, all of which arises from, or directly benefits from, a vast network that exists beneath the planet, which is made up of fungal pathways. We call it the mycelium network, and it is an impossibly complex fungal matrix of electrochemical communication and nutritional pathways that connect all things that grow from this planet together. And so this network is comparable to the universal one. It is simply a condensed version of it, encapsulated within the parameters of a planet, almost like a brain in a skull. And scientific revelations regarding this planetary network have increased the likelihood that this fungal matrix could be forming a planetary consciousness, a planetary mind, Mother Nature. And this force, this consciousness within nature, is the governing force that pushes evolutionary development on the planet. The planetary network of mycelium could be the neural structure of a planetary mind. And interestingly enough, following the pattern of universal, galactic, solar, and planetary networks, over periods of evolutionary time, this planet has produced yet another, more condensed network that relies on electrochemical communication through highly complex neural pathways, the human brain. In fact, the mycelial network of the planet and the human brain are remarkably similar to one another in form and function. And so, as I said, you could almost view the planetary mycelial network as a more condensed version of the universal network, and that the human brain is an even further condensed version of these networks. Dynamic information exchange within complex networks is occurring on a universal scale all the way down to the human scale, and of course these same networks of organized energy are observable in various forms within nature and within the subatomic and quantum world, which, interestingly enough, creates something of a circle from micro to macro throughout all of reality. So this conscious energy from the beginning of time and space is building on itself and developing more refined pathways, more refined networks through which direct experience can be manifested. And so perhaps the human brain has stored within it the same information that is stored within the planetary, solar, galactic, and universal networks, because the energy or information from these networks has been passed down through evolutionary development, and perhaps that is why the human mind, when in an expanded state of awareness, can enter into extremely novel cognitive processes, experiencing leaving the human body, exploring other realms, receiving information from sources that appear to feel external, a download of information, encounters with otherworldly intelligences. Perhaps we are accessing a library of information that is stored within a larger neural network than our own human brain, and the human brain is capable of receiving and translating this information down into our more condensed expression that we can understand whilst in human form. So to finish up on the idea of network dynamics, we have the universal network of fundamental energies, We have the galactic network, which is composed of solar networks, which then lead, at least on Earth, to a planetary network, which gives rise to the individual network of the human brain. And I think that each of these can communicate with one another through various methods of conscious expansion that are available to us through our brain-body mechanism. Two examples being transcendental meditation and psychedelic experiences, which are strikingly similar to each other in regards to what people feel, see, and receive from these experiences. Another interesting side note in relation to how reality is perceived in expanded states of human awareness, whether these be meditative, psychedelic, or even near-death-induced experiences, a commonality between all three is the visual experience of geometric patterns emerging out of the environment, highly intricate, beautiful, multicolored geometric formations seem to replace the environment around you. And these same geometrics are expressed visually through simulations that are looking at the underlying mathematics that govern our universe. So the logic-based mathematics that forms space-time is visually simulated as these unimaginably complex and beautiful geometric patterns. So if the physics of our universe is represented to us by complex geometry, and this same visual exhibition is experienced when in meditative states or through strong psychedelic experiences, this would suggest to me that this is what the foundations of reality look like to us, beyond the matter, beyond the physical. Our minds can only interpret the infinite complexity of the creative process through a visual exhibition of unimaginable beauty and complexity that arises from these geometric mosaics. I think this is what raw conscious energy looks like to us, and it really is a sight to behold. And interestingly enough, if you look at any monotheistic religion and examine their architecture, and especially the stained glass windows of Christian and Catholic churches, you will see these impossibly complex, beautiful geometrics once again. And I think that this is a callback to the more paganistic period of the human story, when we were engaging in psychedelic rituals and were most likely having these geometric visual exhibitions that were informing our spiritual identities and our visual representations of the sacred. So I think that the human being is an evolutionarily refined receiver of the conscious forces that formed the universal network that has condensed from universal to galactic to solar, emerging into a planetary network, which then produces these individual networks called human beings, who are all linked together through those fundamental energies. And now we're producing further expressions of these very same networks, first with tribes, then villages, then towns, then cities, and now we have condensed this even further still with the dawning of the digital age, the creation of the internet and advanced artificial intelligence. It starts to become very clear to me that we're following an evolutionary process of network development, of increased connectivity. And so it seems that a time will likely come when it is the turn of the biological human to pass the torch of developmental processes onto something that we will be a fundamental component of, but in many ways unrecognizable to our current expression of being, because we will be developing through an entirely novel medium, through the digital, artificially intelligent virtual landscape. It would appear to me to be an inevitable pathway for most of humanity that we will further converge with the technologies we're developing. We're now at a point where artificially intelligent circuits can be implanted within our brains. Only the other week I was reading a story about how a fully paralyzed man was able to post comments on social media simply by thinking about it with the assistance of a surgically embedded artificially intelligent circuit. So this is certainly the visible momentum of our developmental path, that we will continue to innovate and further integrate technologies with our own bodies. But if we look back on this evolutionary process of networks developing in more condensed expressions, from universal to galactic, solar to planet to people, then it would seem we're genuinely following an evolutionarily guided incentive that's built into our default programming to continue the process of developmental complexity. And our way of doing this is to develop technological networks made up of data, of information exchange. And a time will come when our computational developments will be so exquisite that they exceed the use of the human brain, and this may be an impending evolutionarily guided prerequisite for us to merge our consciousness with artificial intelligence in order to begin the next step on the human journey. I know people don't like that idea. It just seems very likely to me that this is the way we're going. I don't think we can escape that eventuality outside of a nuclear holocaust or a comet from space. I think this is likely our destiny to a certain extent, but what is not set in stone is the power dynamics of our civilization when such a convergence becomes possible. We are far from being ethically prepared for such a transition, but I do personally consider history to be the building up process towards this type of evolutionary leap that nature is destined to take. And over the last few years, this process really does feel like it's reaching a fever pitch with the breaking down of systems and scientific models in the modern era. You know, this to me is the best evidence of an impending change to our status quo. It might be 10 years from now, it might be 100 years from now. But when examining this transition period through the lens of evolutionary time, we're incredibly close now to a very drastic change in how we understand and interact with reality. And a change in how we understand reality is exactly what I want to talk about next with the concept of metaphysical bridges. I think all human beings serve as metaphysical bridges. We're able to connect with a non-physical realm within our minds, something that we call the imagination, and then we can subsequently pull this non-physical energy from the domain of the imagination into the domain of the physical through nothing more than the use of our minds and bodies, whether it be a painting, a composition, a fantastic meal, a world-changing invention, all of these things and more, in fact everything that we've created since the dawn of humanity has originated from the non-physical dimension of the imagination. And so from this standpoint, I think the idea of a human being acting as a bridge between the physical and the metaphysical is worthy of consideration. Now, some people's bridges are a little sturdier than others. Some people have a vested interest in maintaining the structural integrity of their bridge. You know, some even take time to try and reinforce it to make it stronger, and others don't even know they have a bridge in the first place and assume it's all just coming from this place they find themselves in right now, the physical dimension. And the difference maker for how strong of a bridge you have appears to be primarily based around how intuitive of a person you are. Nikola Tesla, the genius inventor, once said, "My brain is only a receiver. In the universe, there is a core from which we obtain knowledge, strength, and inspiration. I've not penetrated into the secrets of this core, but I know that it exists." This is an interesting statement because it's this underlying acknowledgement that although we don't understand this core, this ocean of unbounded energy, this underlying force of inspiration and creativity, we know that it exists. There is this underlying intuitive sense of it that's felt very strongly in some people. Tesla knew it. He knew it existed because he felt it. His inventions and his theories were brought into existence by this intuitive flow of data or inspiration from beyond his own human mind. Tesla understood this whilst also understanding he could harness this energy and manifest it into the real world to create real world solutions. He respected his position within the physical domain, he respected the scientific method, but intuitively understood that he was drawing his creative forces from a domain beyond this one. A mysterious core, something that's been called by many names, including God. So we could view the human being as a kind of biological vehicle or a highly tuned waveguide for this fundamental conscious energy that burst into this space through the Big Bang and over what we understand as vast expanses of evolutionary time rearranged itself and propagated into appropriate forms in order to explore its own environment. The body-brain interface of the human being is one of these forms. It's this incredibly complex and well-designed computer, a sending, receiving, and translating machine. And what makes you, you, what makes me, me, it's not the machine. It's the energy this machine is receiving and translating. Your individual perception of self, your perception of identity, is being formed through your experience of driving this human body around, because we have no memory of where we came from prior to this experience. And this is obviously just my own personal belief, but I think it's entirely purposeful, because having no memory of our previous state of existence makes it far easier for us to fully embrace our current reality. However, part of the developmental process does seem to be for us to remember our true nature, our true reality. And life seems to be littered with signs and reminders of this, and it's simply up to us as individuals to interpret these signs, these messages, intuitive moments, life lessons, and decide for ourselves if they contain a deeper message. Some of us go our entire lives ignoring the vast majority of these kind of signs, and others base their entire life off of paying attention to the subtleties that arise throughout our personal journeys. Once again, it's entirely our choice. It's our experience of what I suppose we could call free will, to either ignore these moments or embrace them, to grow from them, to learn from them, or to ignore them. It's entirely our choice, and the consequences that precede our choices are entirely of our own making. I think our ultimate reality is that of an unbounded individuation of conscious energy that represents an expression of an energetic whole, a singularity, or as Tesla called it, a core, what many have opted to call God. It is that intuitively sensed force that can never be truly named or understood, at least not on this particular level of reality. But there are those who seem to be highly capable of drawing information from this other realm of creative energy. These highly intuitive individuals amongst us seem to be capable of decoding information from the immaterial realm, the realm of the imagination, or of emotional resonance or intuitive inspiration. People who are highly intuitive or creative tend to draw most of their understanding and observations of life from what can be felt emotionally, what resonates intuitively, rather than simply what is directly observable within their environment, whereas a more analytical or logic-based thinker will draw most of their understandings and observations of life from what can be seen and understood through sensory data of their immediate environment, and are less able to sense or decode emotional and intuitive information. And then there are those who have high creativity or intuition-based cognition in symbiosis with a high logic-based cognition, which places them in a unique position where they are able to draw from the well of intuition, of creative inspiration and emotional resonance, and then translate this data into a workable format, an understandable format, within a physical domain so that others can observe and benefit from it. And this can be anything from creating a chair for someone to sit on, to an emotionally provocative piece of artwork, to a rocket that takes us to the moon. It's the individuals who create these things, the Nikola Teslas and many others who fit into this category, who are able to bring things from the realm of the imagination and build them in our current reality. So people like this are prime examples of how the human being can act as a metaphysical bridge. Individuals who are able to form strong channels or bonds between the non-physical realm of creative energy and the physical realm we exist in. This idea does rely on a model of consciousness that places the mind beyond the brain and instead observes our individual awareness as a focalized point of coalesced energy that's within a quantum field, or a hologram, or simulation, as the futurists like to call it these days. And that as human beings, we access this scaffolding of unbounded consciousness through our minds, through our imagination, which is made possible by the complex biological quantum computational system that is the human brain-body interface. The human body is simply providing an operational interface for a conscious energy to utilize for explorational purposes. And this is what I think we're doing. I think we are the energy using the human vehicle to explore what physicists will likely conclude to be a type of multidimensional quantum hologram. This material realm is illusionary. Matter is nothing more than a very convincing holographic projection of an underlying energetic scaffolding that has within it the same conscious energy that operates within each and every one of us. So we're essentially idea machines. We possess these unique tools of abstract thought and complex language, which we could also call creative intelligence and logical intelligence. And it's through these tools that we're able to first imagine or dream of fantastical things, things that don't exist in the physical plane. We have the ability to create these things in our heads, to literally visualize something that does not currently exist. And then we can move these images and inspirations from the domain of the imagination into the domain of the physical world through innovation and creative expression, through intuitive inspiration that's expressed through creativity and logic. This should not be overlooked. This is an astonishing ability to possess because it forces us to ask the question, where does this information come from? Where do our inspirations, our dreams, our innovative eureka moments come from? Even if we go with the standard hypothesis of consciousness being a generated phenomenon brought into existence through highly complex neural networks, electrochemical exchanges, and sensory data, this is still an astonishing situation when you look at all the weird and wonderful and even horrific things that the human mind has brought into existence through its imagination. Even if this was simply an effect of complex brain activity, the same question remains, where are all these ideas coming from? So I propose the possibility that what we think of as the imagination is in of itself a dimensional realm that exists on the periphery of what can be observed in our normal resting state of awareness. We can pick it up like a TV signal inside our minds. We can play around with it, creating objects or scenarios, but for the most part, this is as close to that realm as we can get, and yet the realm of the imagination exists right next door to the realm of the physical, and it can be accessed mentally by our highly tuned systems that make up the complex brain-body-mind interface. And so we can produce tools, ideas, and innovations within a sort of non-physical hyperspace, which we call the imagination, and then we bring these ideas, these tools, these inspirational artifacts into our physical dimension. We can pull them from the realm of the imagination and we can manifest them into physical reality through creative forces, through what we call intuitive inspiration. And so the artists and innovators amongst us have built the strongest bridge, the strongest bond between the physical and the metaphysical, allowing creative potential energy from the realm of ideas to manifest itself in a structured form within our physical domain. Painting, music, dance, poetry, cooking, I mean pretty much anything can be an art form. Mathematics can be an art form. Making ceremonial tea can be an art form. Writing, speaking, engineering, all of this and more can be art because the act of being an artist is not restricted to a certain set of individuals. The act of being an artist is merely the performance of an action that has embedded within its origin an intuitive, unrestricted, utterly effortless and emotionally significant resonance. When you are truly free from limits and feel the effortless glide of the paintbrush automatically creating without struggle, or the perfect sequence of chords on an instrument without any resistance, a flow of inspiration that is occurring in real time without you thinking about anything, that's the moment when you are acting as a bridge between the infinite, unbounded ocean of creative potential energy and the coordinated position you currently occupy in a physical dimension. You're simply bridging the gap between these two dimensional fields and rendering creative energy from the imagination into a coordinated point in time and space. In other words, you take unbounded energy and mold it into a bounded form. And so when it comes to the generator versus receiver hypothesis for the existence of consciousness, is consciousness an internally generated phenomenon that ceases to exist once the body dies, or is consciousness being received or amplified by our brain-body interface? Well, personally, I'm on the receiver side of the debate. I think the human brain, as I've already said, is a complex instrument that serves as a receiving and refining tool for large waves of information to be condensed. I think the brain works like a waveguide, or what we could call a metaphysical bridge. It receives information and renders it usable for the operating system, which is the human being, a biological network of electrochemical exchanges with an electromagnetic field surrounding it, immersed in an ocean of electromagnetism that permeates through all of space. If you could see the energetic nature of the universe with your own eyes, I think it would be an undeniable reality that we're all fundamentally connected to one another and all of our surroundings through these subtle energies that lie at the foundation of time and space, stringing it all together in its infinite matrix. And so the human being, to me, could be seen as a kind of like a node on a vast cosmic network. And through the complex neurological functioning of the brain body, we actually possess the ability to traverse this universal network of energetic connections. I think we have direct access to the highway of hyperspace, and that through various methods of electrochemical manipulation within the body and the brain, through things like deep meditation, high doses of psychedelics, and even near-death experiences, we're able to literally tune our bodily senses to a different dimensional slice of space-time. We can move our conscious minds, our energetic signature of awareness can explore the universal network at will. Our body serves as a vehicle for traversing the physical plane, but our body also serves as a type of technology that, if used appropriately, can allow our minds, our awareness, to move from beyond the body and out into hyperspace through utilizing the medium of energetic networks that exist all around us. I think this is a long-lost understanding throughout much of the so-called developed world, especially in the West. These are practices that once came naturally to our ancestors, but have since been discarded en masse since the Industrial Revolution in favor of material pursuits, and this type of propaganda has been raised to absurd levels in the modern age of consumer capitalism, superficial programming, overstimulation of the brain through constant 24-hour news, advertising, social media, political distractions, and of course the banning of substances that alter your state of consciousness in expansive ways. All of this has undoubtedly impacted each and every one of us on a neurological level, some more than others, and so many of us have fallen out of touch with our minds and operate primarily on a default mode setting. We've forgotten that there are other settings to explore, and it's through the exploration of expanded or heightened states of awareness that you begin to realize that you're not necessarily the body, nor are you the brain, that is receiving information in order to project your waking reality. You are the information itself, manifested into a self-aware being through complex biocircuitry of the human body that can receive, render, and translate this information or energy, which provides you with self-awareness and a sense of being an individual amongst other individuals. But even then, you are still the body and the mind, just as much as you are the sky and the stars, because it's all fundamentally made from the same stuff. It's the same energy, it's simply being rendered in our current dimensional reality through a multitude of forms, from planets to people and everything else there is to observe. Even the very air between you and the next thing in front of you, it's all the same energy. There is no true separation, only a generated perception of separation that is quite literally necessary for you to have a human experience, to experience the sensation of being an individual self, whilst also having, within the body-mind combination, the ability to move back into the infinite space you originate from. And I would imagine this might be part of our reason for being here, to forget what we are experience being inside a body in a physical life with linear time, and through this journey begin to gradually remember what it is we truly are through paying attention to life itself and what it tries to tell us as we progress on our journey of individual self-development and growth. There is, in my opinion, a component to life which is about discovering what you truly are, and this can only be done if you have first forgotten what you truly are and what you are capable of. And so, to conclude, this model of looking at reality observes a burst of conscious energy erupting in a new dimensional space, which we call the Big Bang, and this energy unfolds itself over vast expanses of evolutionary time, all the while diversifying and becoming more complex, forming networks of energetic exchange and connectivity, with the intention of forming itself appropriately within this new dimensional space so that this conscious energy can adequately explore this new dimensional space. And so this energy forms ever-condensing networks of complexity that are represented by the universal, galactic, solar, planetary, and individual networks that have, over time, formed into a vehicle that is able to self-identify and explore its environment. And this is the human being. And the human being has within it an ability afforded to it through its complex biocomputational matrix, and this is the ability to traverse all networks that led to its development, which is the idea of a metaphysical bridge. And the human being is following this evolutionary inclination towards creating networks by developing the internet and the digital landscape, which may lead to humanity itself being absorbed by its own creation as we become a part of a new evolutionary process, which will likely start forming other types of networks. And perhaps this is all just a part of an infinite kaleidoscope of connectivity, like falling down through the spiral of the Mandelbrot. Or perhaps there is a culminative event when all things connect to all other things, when the evolutionary process of network dynamics has connected every dot to every other dot. And this is what we would view as a singularity, an event at the end of time. I don't know if this is a journey into infinity or a journey towards a singularity, but either way, what I do feel intuitively is that reality and our role within it is a far more fantastical and inspiring thing than we sometimes give it credit for. And that as we progress over the years and as our models adapt, we will get closer to the realization that what was once considered mystical or paranormal is simply a part of this thing we call reality.